Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Ty. Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
Ty's forgotten how to do the intro because he hasn't been here for 7 weeks.
It's episode 117 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We got the boys back together for one time.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Yeah, what time do you have to dip, Ty? 37 minutes from now? Yeah.
It is 7.
Hard cutoff for him so he can go get drinks with his work friends.
As he plans it on podcast.
That's exactly what you're doing. I could read the group chat if you want me to.
Yeah, that is what you're doing.
You know what? Get some friends.
After missing the last five podcasts.
Yeah, after missing the last five podcasts.
How many did you miss, Eric? How many did you miss?
Zero.
That's not
I was on all of those.
You were in Mexico for 3 months, and I think you missed
I'm pretty sure you were straight napping through.
Hey, I even joined podcasts from Mexico. That's how dedicated.
Well, the thing is, I play softball, and I can't. I also that's not the
excuse this weekend.
So I missed one for softball. Next week was a Jays game. Softball.
You so you chose
concert,
to buy tickets for
concert,
a Jays game.
No, I didn't choose to buy them. Eric,
he didn't choose to buy them. He chose to accept what they were when they were offered to him. But tonight, yeah. I have obligations with my work friends. Who's the one that made the obligations? You moron. What obligation do you have every Wednesday night? Talking Hockey Podcast. Oh,
well,
I have obligations.
What about
my
softball
question
is the only one I will allow.
Ty, what I other agree. Like? Do you have anything any other night of the week?
Yes. Yeah, he's got more drinks with the same friends.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I'm
a very it's here. A very loser oriented.
Well, listen,
crew.
They
are insular, and Ty even sometimes shows up to my weekend plans, and he's like, actually, I want to go hang out with my work friends instead. He's because it's because he's cool there. He doesn't get made fun of.
It's because he's an insurance eight.
He's not the butt of the jokes when he goes to hang out. His work friends don't know all the stuff that we do. They call him Tahir, and we say who?
They think he's like a cool person. Ugh.
Whenever I hang out with Ty around his work friends, he's like, Luke, you have to call me Tahir. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I refuse to. I've known you for 11 years as Ty. Why would I call you Tahir? If I'm going to call you anything, it's going to be like Bumbaclot or any. It's going to be any other number of things
or
than
dipshit,
Tahir.
Or dumbass or dramatic ass or any number of words that matter.
You know what? Yeah, we start off with their roasting me. I'm sorry.
Well,
I like them better.
You haven't been
you.
Here to roast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So
why do you think
we've been roasting you without you here? It's not as fun.
Eric, I wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
I've gotten DMs from a couple people. Like fans asking what happened to the Instagram.
You're personal. You personally have gotten
personally.
Wow.
Personally.
Wow.
Ooh. I've had a couple of talks that follow me to ask as well.
And they're like, what happened? And the answer that Eric gave us is, sorry, I was in the shower.
That was funny. Like, what was that?
That was funny.
It's funny because Luke's gotten that response before.
Everybody has. What do you mean? You know, they don't respond to you for 3 days. Sorry, I went and showered. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I was taking a nap. Oh, I was taking a nap with my whole roster.
I didn't see this. Yeah, I didn't see this. Yeah. I was.
So, you know, I thought that was the most. I should come back on Instagram and be like, sorry.
Post this story. Sorry, I deleted the app for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Sorry, was showering. Done now.
Okay, what are we talking about today? McDonough trade, Mike Greer hire, and the draft? Or do we just want to do the draft?
No, just do the draft.
Draft rumors. Firstly, we can talk McDonough if we should. But
Congratulations to Colorado Avalanche.
We talked about that last week.
We talked about
that. Nazem Kadri's going to get $10 million. That's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Actually, let's talk about that quickly. Because who are the two teams that were rumored?
Boston and Seattle.
Boston and Seattle, both missing top six centers. Boston might not have any as of next year.
And they're going to give Kadri $10 million.
Kadri? Is that the plan?
Which is pretty funny because their fans complained about Kadri being so dirty for however many years.
Well, they'll love it when he's on their team being dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
The $10 million was the high end, though, wasn't it? Like it was a pretty broad.
It was said the number, like Kiprios, and Kiprios has been wrong on a few things, granted, or quite a few things recently, supposedly.
Anyway. Yes.
But he said the number I hear is it starts at 8 and it could go as high as 10. And then he said the two teams that he's hearing are Seattle.
Starting at 8 makes sense.
Like, yeah.
And then he said also Arizona is a big player in Kadri, which makes no sense, but we can talk about that.
He's a personality that would probably play well in that market.
Kadri in Arizona?
Yeah.
Would Arizona want Kadri at all?
That, I don't know.
Well, like, so maybe Kiprios, they wanted to bring in tickets. Kiprios says it's because they're desperate to show their fan base that just because they're going into this rebuild doesn't mean we're not serious, which makes no sense.
But why would Kadri want to go there? Oh, yeah, I want a cup.
I mean, if he wants $10 million, he has
a cup. Yeah, if he wants, like,
and he wants to live in the sun for the next 8 years or 7 years. So that sounds like a good deal to me. I would like
that. And you just said it. He won a cup. Like, he won the cup. Who knows if he wants another one? Like,
if he wants another one, he'll stay in Colorado.
Colorado for like
$6 million.
Sorry. If you, sorry, this is my opinion. If you win a cup and then you're like, you know what? I don't want anymore. Just retire.
Retire. You need to make your next $80 million.
You need to make your money. You need to make.
Kadri hasn't made his money yet.
You know what? I'm gonna sound like an old boomer right now. You guys are what's wrong with the game.
Now, Kadri, go make your money, my brown brother, and do it in Arizona. Do it in Boston, whatever. But go make your money, man. You don't need another cup. Fuck it. And if you do want another cup, take $6 million. Stay in Colorado. That's all you need to do. You'll win another cup there if he stays.
Anyway.
Well, if you went to Boston, it wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah, Ty wants to talk about what he came here to talk about for the first time.
Yeah,
in
but
seven
I
episodes.
Don't want him to start talking about it because I'm mad at him right now for not showing up to the last 18. So I'm going to keep interrupting him.
The number just keeps rising for how many he's missed.
5, 18. I took
the whole summer off. Look how miserable he looks right now. He looks so sad. He's sad boy, sad
it's,
puppy.
It's because he's not used to getting chirped anymore, you know. He's
yeah,
anymore.
Who
at
like
Sonnet, he's worshipped.
I think
women like kiss the ground that he. No, women kiss the ground that he walks on at Sonnet.
And then women spit on the ground he walks on outside of Sonnet.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. The 30-plus-year-olds get desperate, eh?
Oh man.
Yeah, they're
looking. I'm an insurance. Ever since I went to Backstreet Boys. On the weekend, Eric said I'm on insurance 12 out of 10.
Yeah,
so.
I did say that.
Eric couldn't even care to turn up the volume on your story.
He's like, where are you? And I literally said, I'm fucking at Backstreet Boys. There's like a video on my story.
Yeah, I didn't listen. I just saw it and I saw like girls beside him. And I'm like, what girls want to hang out with Ty? That makes no sense.
Sonnet girls.
Yeah.
There must be something in the water at Sonnet.
But
I
heard,
I don't know, man.
But I saw Drake. Went to the Backstreet.
Every girl that I've introduced Ty to, doesn't want to hang out with him. So I don't know what these Sonic girls
Ty,
do.
What, like, it's either these girls have like nobody else like normal or slightly normal around, or there's something wrong with it. There's
he's not enjoying this very much. The girls I've introduced him to, they like him. I'm kidding, Ty. Okay, you can look a bit happier now. Okay,
smile.
I just want him to cheer up. He looks like he's ready to jump.
Because
Hey, Ty, you know the Logic song? You want to call
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I've always made the joke, Logic made Suicide cheesy as shit with that song, so.
What?
Martin has no idea what we're talking about. He's probably never listened to a rap song.
Martin only knows.
Martin, have you never heard the Logic song?
Martin only knows Tragically Hip.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, that's Martin's vibes.
If Martin had never heard a song by a black person, I would not be shocked.
Ridiculous.
That would be like the least shocking thing I've ever heard about.
No, the only black songs you would have heard is like, who's the guy who sings Wagon Wheel?
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker.
Yeah,
Martin Duke.
The only black country singer.
Yeah, the only black country singer.
I was literally picturing that guy, but I had no idea what his name could even possibly be. I was gonna say
Daryl or Terry Tucker or something like that. Yeah, Martin.
That's Martin's vibes.
Let him adjust his hat with his flow going right now. You know?
Yeah. Look at that lettuce. All right, let's get into the draft. We only have 27 minutes more of time.
That's what
we got. 36 people to talk about.
The past 2 years, we had a draft expert, or even three, multiple draft experts come on. This year, because Talking Hockey's been a dying page, I am the draft expert.
We
will get a draft expert on the podcast. We will have to, because we cannot leave people with just Ty's information.
This is how much Eric doesn't care about the podcast. He doesn't even try with his mic anymore. Like it's not even plugged AirPods in. And I don't even notice until it's too late.
It's right.
We had Rachel Dory the last 2 years, and then we had William Scouching last year.
Scouching did not respond to my DM. I was really hurt.
Yeah, did Rachel? I guess we can't.
Rachel
really
is not an option anymore. She's all.
That's unfortunate.
She's
probably in Montreal right now, to be honest, too. But so this year, I don't want Ty to take any credit for this list that he has, actually. It's friend of the show, Adam. That's whose list it is.
Why don't we have Ty's Adam on the podcast?
Because
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
At least we'll have hit, like at least the person who made the list should fucking talk about it, not fucking Ty.
All right, Ty. What? Who do you think is the best skater on this list? That's the kind of content Rachel would give us. Who's the best skater? Who needs to work on their skating the most?
You know what?
Who's the best value pick?
Listen. So what I wanted to start off with is that Montreal has the first overall pick.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And now we'll get back into the show.
Listen, so what I wanted to start off with is that Montreal has the first overall pick, and so for however many years, you've been looking at this draft coming up and being Shane Wright, easy number one pick.
Yep.
Then I don't know what happened, but that changed. What do they call it? The generational talent in the OHL. He got drafted a year earlier as a 15-year-old. he had a really good kind of, you know, draft, the 16-year-old season considering his age. He had a okay 17-year-old season. COVID killed a year of his development, but, you know, he maybe got off to a bit of a slow start this year and wasn't like a dominant, you know, he's not McDavid, but he is still, you know, he was projected to be the clear-cut number one overall pick. And then you started hearing things coming out of Montreal that, hey, they might not take him. Even like Corey Pronman has Slavkovsky going first. Corey Pronman has Shane Wright going fourth overall.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I couldn't believe that when I saw it.
The way you look at Shane Wright, at worst, his floor is like a number two centerman in the league. Right? Yeah. He might not put up. He's not McDavid. He's not going to be, you know, a Matthews. He's not going to be, you know, he still can be a solid top six center for
like
your
his low end is like probably like a Hischier level player.
Right.
It's kind of the way I would describe it. Right. Like I think he's a comparable. Like a nice,
he's not going to blow. Yeah.
Point center. Good. You know, solid defensively, solid offensively, maybe not. And again, we're talking about is like the low end, not the high end, but that I think Hischier is a very good comparable for the low end.
And Hischier is not to say anything, but Hischier, he's still a,
he's a very good player. Very good player.
You need players like him. And, you know, Montreal is probably upset they're not drafting first overall next year, but to get Bedard. But, you know, they are very much going to go off the board here and take Slavkovsky first overall. Doesn't mean I think he's the best. Doesn't mean our draft experts think he's the best. I think they're going to.
Oh, God.
Why?
Leave it to Montreal to screw up that pick.
Just the sentiment that's coming out, what scouts are saying, Bob McKenzie, right? Because Bob McKenzie's draft rankings have Slavkovsky first overall. And he's also a good player. But, yeah, so what Bob does is he takes scouts. Bob takes all the top scouts. He does a poll. They give them their results. He just puts, you know, who had first overall, right? Who
but he have also it first. Said, yeah, but it was he used 10 out of a possible, like he does 20 or so, something, 25. And he just used 10 at random, it sounded like.
Okay. And but still.
Those
yeah,
10
but that's a good, you know.
Bob McKenzie has been right every single year who goes first overall.
Yeah, but he said another 10 could have been chosen and it would have been Shane Wright.
Sure. Maybe. But I think that Bob McKenzie's list, he's not a scout.
I think it's pretty
He's taking scouts' opinions, but he's been right for a lot of these first overalls. Again, Corey Pronman, Slavkovsky first overall. And Pronman, say what you want about his scouting, you know, he's, you know, probably one of the biggest ones out there. Right.
Your buddy's list has Slavkovsky 3.
I know. So Shane Wright does exactly, but I'm just saying Shane Wright is still the top prospect in this draft. I don't think he goes first overall. And Slavkovsky, I personally think that Cooley is better than Slavkovsky. I even think that
I think there's at least 4 or 5 players in the draft that are better than Slavkovsky.
And Luke has tuned out because he has no idea what we're talking about.
So why do we think Slavkovsky? So
just because that's what.
But the only reason Slavkovsky has jumped to number one now is World Juniors performance, and basically, I think Shane Wright just didn't live up to what people expected him to. Not that he didn't have an a very, very good season and everything like that. I just don't think he lived up to the hype. So I think Slavkovsky's outperformed expectations, and Shane Wright fell below expectations, and people are using expectations as a judge for whether he should be who should be going higher. It's kind of my theory on this.
And yeah, and I think Montreal, I don't know, man, like they've done it before. I know it's a whole different regime, but they did it before with Kotkaniemi, right?
Yep.
Kind of went, Kotkaniemi was like a top 10 pick that 2018 draft, but they went off the board and took him third overall over Quinn Hughes, over, you know, who else was there? Quinn Hughes, I think, was a big one. But,
Quinn
you know,
is the big
Brady
one.
Kachuk. Right.
Brady Kachuk was the biggest one.
Right.
Yeah, because it was like right in front of him.
Because
Brady
Kachuk was the obvious pick. Like, by far.
Even Quinn Hughes, right? Like, right, yeah. So, and now Kotkaniemi is on Carolina and does nothing on the ice. If Cochran, yeah, so like I said, totally different regime. Everyone from that prior one was fired, but you know, they have gone off the board before. I think that their GM Hughes is kind of also known for doing, or he has this reputation maybe that maybe he's also the same way. He has his gut pick. He also did coach Cooley, I think.
Yeah, back in the day, I don't know.
Right. So I could see Cooley going first. Everyone seems to think if they take Shane Wright, there's no losing. They could take a higher risk pick that could outperform Shane Wright, be a top winger. But, you know, Shane Wright's the clear-cut number one.
Interesting thing that comes from Montreal. Yeah, sorry, Martin, go. Then I'll say.
I think Montreal has to nail this pick. And I think Shane Wright is the nail. Like, and they know it. Like, it's so obvious. It's like everyone is still like, okay, Slefkovský, pretty like dark horse, maybe Cooley.
It's funny because New Jersey,
Shane Wright's like the guy that's going to be it.
Yeah.
New Jersey probably has the easiest choice in the draft because either Montreal fucks it up and drafts Wright and they grab Slefkovský. I'm guessing they draft Slefkovský, though I think they could use a defenseman more than another fucking center.
Juracek is great as well.
Hey, I mean, I'd like Nemec more, but we'll discuss that in a second. But the interesting thing about Montreal, that and this news just came out like yesterday, is they signed a multi-year deal with Team 33, which is like a company that offers like pro scouting services for ranking players, essentially. So it's a change. All I'm saying is it's a change in direction from what Montreal has been doing in the past. Right? So there is that. I think you have to take that in consideration as well. Like they might be getting on the service because they want to think differently about things, and maybe the old regime would have fucked up this pick with the Slefkovský or something like that. But I think, you know, them going and getting professionals who use analytics and all this stuff a little bit more might be a sign that they're going to go with the right pick, which is Shane Wright, in my opinion.
Yeah, Shane Wright's the safe pick. Like he's going to be an NHL. Not one superstar other, per se, but he'll be a player.
One other interesting thing I wanted to say. So Corey Pronman, again, he did an Athletic podcast a couple of weeks ago. I saw this on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it was asked, like, there was like a fan question. And it was asked, like, what percentage of NHL teams have Shane Wright at number one? Because they all have their own draft boards. And yeah. Corey Pronman said under 60% did. Somewhere between 50 and 60% only had Shane Wright at number one.
So, yes, it's about half and half.
I bet Ottawa doesn't because they're fucking stupid.
So, there's a lot of plays this can go.
An interesting stat that one of the analytics guys pointed out is if Slefkovský goes number one, he would have the lowest star probability of any forward taken first overall since 1990, according to this specific model. And this is a model that's fairly good and has been better historically at the draft than NHL scouts have been. And he would have the lowest star probability out of anyone going first overall since 1990 when the model first started tracking this stuff.
I haven't been paying too much attention to it. Like I just knew Shane Wright was at the top and then it like Slefkovský flew. Mm-hmm. But like how far did he fly out of, like, where was he ranked on previous ones?
So I remember seeing him as a 16-year-old at the World Juniors a couple years ago for Slovakia. And I remember looking at, you know, he's projected to be somewhere in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think he's always been, you know, top 10, top 10. 5, moved up to top
so 5. He's not out of nowhere.
No. But obviously, it's out of nowhere that, you know, if you asked in 2020 who's going to go first overall in 2022, it was clear cut Shane Wright.
If you asked in December, Slefkovský wouldn't have even been number one on most teams' boards. Like, it's really only the last, what, 3-4 months?
The seven goals in 7 games in the Olympics.
Exactly. That's basically, like, and this, to speak about this model again, this model that's saying Slefkovský has the lowest star probability in 30 years has Shane Wright at number one and Slefkovský all the way down at 15. Or 16.
Which I think is crazy. Which is definitely
too low. And, you know, there's biases with the model, right? Like, you know, some players don't play in a adult leagues as much, and doesn't track every single competition they plan, so it's not going to include stuff Slavkovsky did in international tournaments, only what he did at with his pro team, like all that stuff aside, which means I don't think he should be going 16, but it's definitely it's very difficult to say he should be going first overall. And I think the excuse that people use about him having played against men in the pro league and all that stuff, I think it's a weak excuse because the model accounts for that stuff too. And players that perform well in adult leagues will perform better in the NHL. And historically, if you just look at it in an unbiased way, players that don't perform well in the adult league, even at the draft age, don't perform that well in the NHL as well.
So I have some quick jot notes. Scout provided me some quick jot notes of Shane Wright's game. He has a very good, pro game that's going to translate well. Good shot, very good two-way forward. So, he has a game that can go pretty well to the NHL right away.
I think second overall, Rachel Dory compared him to John Tavares. Tavares last year.
Just easily to translate, easy to translate to.
I want to hear about this Juracek dude.
Juracek, sure. So. My scout notes provided me. He's a right-handed defenseman from the Czech Republic. Very strong defensively, which, people don't seem to value. But, having a good shutdown defenseman is good, who can skate, good shot, great first pass, and very good hands. 6 foot, 389 pounds. I think he's a solid right-handed defenseman. Second overall.
You have him second overall?
Yes.
That seems quite high for what I think his
so did. Is. So did Corey Pronman.
That's not a good thing in your favor there.
Well, we'll see what scouts in New Jersey think.
I have a hard time if you draft him second overall, at second overall you're trying to get a star.
I think he will be.
I don't think he's a star. I think he's a guy that, you'll put on the second pair, lead a second pair type guy. I don't think he's I'm trying to get my next Quinn Hughes, my Cale Makar on defense, or my next insert top forward player on offense type of thing. I don't think he's that he's a guy that's going to be leading a first pair or number one defenseman. I have a hard time seeing that from what I've seen. Whereas
defensemen are also tough. They're just tough.
Defensemen are really tough, but there's been very, Heiskanen was an obvious pick to, be a star defenseman.
Makar.
Hughes was always going to be was a star directly from when he was drafted. Everyone knew he was going to be a star, right? The fact that he fell so far was ridiculous. Cale Makar, came a little bit more out of nowhere, for sure. But you watched.
It was hard to reject Cale Makar, yeah.
And that's because he played in,
Junior A.
Junior A. So it's very difficult. And, that aside, Colorado, genius move on drafting him at that spot. But you want to grab. I don't understand why someone would grab him over, Simon Nemec or something like that. I feel like Nemec has the Quinn Hughes level, Cale Makar level potential. Even if maybe there's a lower chance of him succeeding and being a shutdown top four defenseman type guy. Nemec, from every model you look at, looks like he's the next star defenseman to come out. His star probability, there's almost been no one that has had as high a star probability as he has had over the last decade. Higher than Quinn Hughes, higher than Adam Fox, higher than all these guys. So I think if New Jersey is looking at it, they should be looking at Nemec at second overall.
Number three.
Tie.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, what's your rebuttal? I don't know.
I don't have a rebuttal. I have, to be honest, hockey has not been what I've been looking at that often. These are my quick notes that I've provided.
Backstreet Boys concerts, guys.
Been too busy, yeah. Third overall, we do have Slavkovsky. We've talked a lot about him. Big body. 6'4", 225. Good hands, good shot, good skater, and uses his body very well.
So New Jersey does seem like the type of team that would go on the hype and draft, like if Shane Wright's not taken. No, if Shane Wright is taken at one, I think they take Slefkovsky.
I think
they need a defenseman. Yeah.
Yeah, I think New Jersey goes for a defenseman because
you think
they already have Hischier, they have Jack Hughes, obviously.
They have Jesper Bratt, who's insanely good. If they keep him,
and
Dawson Mercer, right?
That's what I was going to say. Dawson Mercer can play 3C. He might be a winger, but he can play 3C as well. And then they have one of their other first round picks. What's his name? It's bothering me that I don't remember his name right now. But who can also play 3rd/4th line center? His name's escaping me. New Jersey fans know who I'm talking about. But yeah, so I think they're fine on center depth. I don't think they. And again, I'm not advocating for position over
time. Is Slefkovsky a center? I thought he was going to be a winger.
No, he's left wing.
No, he's going to be a center in the NHL, I would guess. And teams will be drafting him as if he's going to be a center, I would say. Though I do get like some Rantanen vibes from him in some aspects, so I don't know.
Okay. 4th overall, Logan Cooley.
That's a very like mild, like that's, I feel like he's guaranteed top 5.
Basically. Yeah, you know, he's good. He's good. Quick and speedy, good shot, high level skill, and scores off the rush.
I think what might fall down a little bit because he's a little bit on the smaller side.
5'10", 168.
Height-wise.
So center.
Who has the 3rd overall pick? It's Montreal, New Jersey, then someone want to pull this up for me?
Yeah.
It's
Arizona.
Arizona.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, Arizona. I could see Arizona drafting him.
Cool. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good pick for them, I'd say.
I think
they're passing on Slefkovsky too. No.
I mean, I don't know. I think Slefkovsky shouldn't be going top 3. I don't think he should be going top 3. That's just my personal bias on it, but.
I feel like Arizona, like someone.
But I feel like Slavkovsky is gonna go top 4. I think, for sure. If so many scouts, like I believe Bob McKenzie, right? Like I get where Bob McKenzie does it, so I'm guessing he's gonna go top 3. But and if anyone's gonna screw up the pick, it would be Montreal.
Eric, Ty literally just said at the start that Pronman said that 40 to 60% of teams.
No, 50 to 60.
50 to 60% of teams don't have Shane Wright at 1. So that means a whole bunch probably have Slefkovsky at 1. I mean
they probably not. they might have Cooley at 1, some might have other players. Some might have, you know. I think this draft there isn't a clear top 10 players. Like a lot of these, like, you know, if I'm looking at this draft, like Cooley could go 2 or 3.
Cooley could go 1. Two or three. I could see Montreal even taking Cooley.
Nemec can go 2 or 3. Like there, you know, I think there's a bunch of guys that like I don't think this draft's as solid as some other drafts have been.
So 5th, I got Savoie, Matthew Savoie. Good speed, good shot, very good speed, good shot, good passing. Not afraid of physicality. 5'9", though, 179, 5th overall center. I think that's I don't have much to say. Got to be honest, haven't scouted very much. These are just the quick notes. But I also used to hear his name back in the day.
He's another guy could go top 4.
Yeah.
Like everybody's talking about these guys as if they're going to go top 4. So someone's going to have to fall out. And I'm guessing it's not going to be Slefkovsky. But yeah.
Wasn't it when these kids were like 15? It was this year was like Shane Wright was really hyped like when they were 15. Shane Wright, Savoie. And Brad Lambert were like
three of the most Lambert was, Brad Lambert was almost was on a comparable level to Shane Wright.
But I think it's because Brad Lambert played for Finland when he was also 16 years old at the World Juniors. I think anytime anyone sees that, they're like, oh, this guy's going to be great.
He was on track, but he fell off the last 2 seasons. He's been, not saying nothing. But he really hasn't performed over the last 2 years. Some people are talking about Stevie Y taking a pick on him at Detroit's pick. I forget what number Detroit's at. 8. People have been talking about Userman grabbing him at 8. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Lambert?
I think he's a mistake to go in the first round, to be honest. At this point, like 2 years, before your draft, you've like fallen off. Like that, it's not just one bad season, it's two now, you know? And those are your two most, your best predictors for your future success are your, those two seasons plus your draft plus 1 year. Those are the 3 years that matter the most.
Yeah, all right. I agree. And he looks so like he's fallen way off.
Six, we got Simon Nemec. We talked about him, right-hand defenseman. Great skater. Okay defensively.
Could arguably be the best player to come out of this draft.
Good playmaking. Yeah, could be.
He's also a young... He's on the younger side, too.
But defense is also important. We tend to undervalue that in this world these days. Seventh overall.
But he's playing in a men's league. In a men's league where he's young in terms of his draft year. He's one of the youngest people in his draft year. And he isn't like a huge body player, right? So I think you have to adjust for that as well, is all I'm saying, basically. Just like Quinn Hughes, right? Like Quinn Hughes is going to learn how to play defense.
Well, I don't know about that one. I think Quinn Hughes should have been a forward. Anyway. Danila Yurov, 7th overall. Russia. So that's the problem right now. Players coming out of Russia. Good competitor and uses his body. Great vision. Good skater. Decent shot. And has high hockey IQ to win puck battles. 6'1", 178.
Let's talk about the reasoning.
Elite prospect has him way down.
Well, you know what? Elite prospects...
Well, I mean, all suck a dick. Like everyone's talking about this, right? All the Russian players are rumored to be
potentially because dropping. Well, yeah, that's the problem, right? Like they might not be able to come here, right?
That's fair.
So and he's actually a guy that people are talking about being in the top 5. He could drop out of the top 10 if all this stuff about Russia is true and what's happening with Kaprizov right now, what's happening with that Philly goalie.
The goalie, yeah.
Fedotov, I think his name is. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Just got arrested.
There's a lot of. He was arrested and then sent off to some base in the middle of nowhere. I'm pretty sure is.
Yeah.
The story.
Who knows?
And there's a lot of Russians at the top of this in the first that should be going in the first round. There's at least like 6 or 7. So
it's a problem next year as well, for Michkov.
Yeah. Yeah. Michkov is a whole other thing because he's also signed for 3 or 4 years.
Well, they also won't be in tournaments and stuff. Like they're not invited to the World Juniors and stuff.
Yeah, so they're not going to be seen. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. There's either going to be a lot.
Are there scouts at KHL games? Like I doubt it.
Right now, maybe not. But there's either going to be a lot of players that get drafted too high and then never end up coming to the NHL because of political, real world reasons, or there's going to be a bunch of players that are drafted really low because of these real world reasons, and they're going to completely outperform the draft because they grabbed these guys who should be going in the top 10 at like 25 or 30 or something like that.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, sorry, Ty, continue with your list now.
Number 8, Joachim Kemmel. He was also a guy who Finland took and was supposed to at the World Juniors. I'm a big World Juniors guy, and everyone was talking about, this guy's going to be good, and he didn't seem to impress anybody at the World Juniors. The notes we have for him, decent skater, good shot, good vision and skill, but needs to move his feet more and drives to the net, but is not very strong because he's 5'11", 176.
So he's a little light. He's growing to that.
But you can grow into that, that's for sure.
Number 9, we got Denton. Oh, God. Matt Matejczyk. Got to be honest. I don't know shit. I usually make fun of Eric for talking shit about
names.
Because he doesn't know people's names. Yeah. Dynamic. Very good skater. Great hands and skill. Good passing. Good defending. It's a left-handed defenseman. 5'11", 187. good defending due to his speed and a good shot. Ninth overall, he's probably going to be a top four defenseman right there. I think that all of us don't really know that much, so you know we can.
Yeah, maybe after the top 10, I'm kind of.
Jonathan Lekkermäki, 10th overall, pure goal scorer, great shot, good skating, good skill, good puck protection, 5'11", 172. Here at number 11, we got Brad Lambert.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
There's so many scouts that don't even have him in the first round, and got him at 11.
You can get him at 11. The notes we have, it looks like we've changed a little bit.
It's still worth a pretty high pick. Yeah, like, I don't know, man.
I think
he was good 3 years ago.
We have a couple guys who've kind of moved up since this. I'm doing the notes here. Mm-hmm. The ones that we have from Adam, he sent out another list. He has him at 14 now, so dropped a little bit. Connor Geeky's he has at 11 now, but
Connor Geeky people are very high on. There's
Cutter Gauthier, really trust right? These are all guys who could go on the top 10, but aren't there yet. Anyone else you want to talk about here? Maybe post this list. Maybe make a post for it.
Yeah, okay.
You have access Eric, to the Instagram.
I'll post the whole list in the description of the podcast.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
So we'll do a quick. I'll do a quick read off. So we won't go in depth on these guys because I actually do have to go now. So 11, actually, sorry. So I did say Brad Lambert 11. That was kind of the mid season. This is like the final day rankings. Connor Geeky, Cutter Gauthier, Noah Oslin, Brad Lambert 14, 15 Philip Mishar, 16 Pavel Minyakov, 17 Isaac Howard, 18 Frank Nazar, 19 Marco Kasper, 20 Kevin Korchinski, 21 Ryan Chesley, 22 Liam Ogren, 23 Owen Pickering, 24 Yuri Kulich, 25 Alexander Pervolov, 26 Luka Dellbell-Belouz. That's a name.
That's a name
and a half.
I've heard
of this guy before. This guy plays on the Mississauga Steelheads. Luka Dellbell-Belouz. 27 Lane Hudson, 29. Did I skip it? I don't know if I skipped any, but I want to talk about Marco Kasper, good guy in Austria. He was at 19 on this list here. 27 Lane Hudson, 28 Nathan Gocher, 29 Rutger McGroarty. Sorry, I choked on my saliva.
McGroarty.
Yeah, McGroarty.
You added the Indian accent to that roadie.
Yeah. 30 Leon Bischel. 31 Jack Hughes. He went first overall in 2019, getting drafted again, going 31st overall this year. I'm just kidding. It's a different Jack Hughes. It's actually the son of the current Montreal GM. Maybe he'll go first overall. 32 Tristan Luno. Yeah. 33 Jimmy Snuggerud. 34 Elias Salmonson. 35 Ivan. Oh, God. Miro. Shnishchenko. 36. I make fun of Eric a lot, but this is me reading.
Brutal. Number
33,
Jimmy Snuggerud sounds like a racial slur.
I was gonna say his last name is one letter away from being a racial slur, bro.
Oh my god.
I was gonna say that.
So right. I'm gonna head out. You guys can keep talking. I'm gonna go. No, that was my draft rankings. But that's it.
Thank you, Ty. We appreciate your wisdom. Problem. And next time, bring the person that actually wrote the list to the show.
Yes. Yeah,
that
would 2023 be draft. We'll see you guys next year. 2023 draft. We'll plan it a bit better.
Just want to say one more thing about Slavkovsky versus Wright. Wright has a 97% chance of becoming a star, according to multiple different
shows. Yeah, nerd.
And Slavkovsky has a 3% chance.
Together, that's 100%.
According to multiple models.
Yeah, so maybe Slavkovsky's the 3% missing from Shane Wright.
Yeah.
He might be.
Yeah. That's a good point. That math adds up.
Sounds it's a conspiracy. That math does add up.
There we go.
All right. See you next week, folks.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.